Thank you, Grace. It's a beautiful song. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. It's nice to be back. I've been away for a few weeks. I had a week of holidays up north. We went to the Sunshine Coast with Karina and Oscar. My little brother Trent came up from Adelaide, which was nice. So we had a cool time up there on the beach in the Sunshine Coast. Last week I was at the Fijian Church preaching, and it's nice to be back for our last week on these plastic chairs. How good is that? A lot of you will know the story, the miracle of the pews, I have called it. We had the timber pews, and when I got the job here at Mount Gravatt, I started telling people, and the very first thing someone said to me is, oh, the church with the uncomfortable pews. And that was the first thing they told me about Mount Gravatt. And I was like, what? And they came here, and they were a bit uncomfortable, weren't they? They weren't the greatest. So we have sold them off, and the money that we got for the pews has fully funded the new chairs. So I think that is a cool miracle that God has done for us. They are coming, they're arriving on Monday morning. We're going to fill up the church. They're like the black ones at the back. We've got a few demo chairs. I think Pastor Zenny is sitting on one, showing it to us. It's comfy, isn't it? So we're going to go from the... That's right, yeah. From the least comfy pews in the conference to the most comfy chairs in the conference. How about that? So they're coming soon. Now, today, we are talking about fake news, because the whole world is filled with fake news, and so I thought we'd have a chat about fake news here in church. And I have some examples. I want you to tell me, are these fake news or real news? The first one, the earth is flat. Fake news. Good. I hope everyone gets that one. Next one, our prime minister is a Christian. Real or fake? This is real. How good's that? We've got a prime minister who's a Christian. I think that's pretty good. Next one, the Maroons are going to win State of Origin. No way, no way. The Blues are going to win. The Blues have won every single year I've been in Queensland. So I'm a lucky charm. I think the Blues are going to win. What about this? Has anyone been following this one on the news? Donald Trump is Q. Everyone's trying to figure out. You might have heard of QAnon. All the big news companies are talking about it. No one knows. Who is Q? Maybe you can look that one up later. What about this? The coronavirus is fake. Someone says true. This is fake news. The virus is real. Any doctor will tell you that. The virus is real. The reaction to it maybe is a bit crazy, but the virus itself is real. Now, what about fake news in Adventism? Is there fake news in Adventism? I've got a few questions. Do Adventists believe that the second coming will occur before the millennium? This is true. Revelation chapter 20. Jesus will come and then the millennium begins. What about this? When you die, you go straight to heaven. Is this what Adventists believe? No, this is fake news. The story of Lazarus will tell you that, right? He dies, he's in the grave, then Jesus brings him back to life. He doesn't go to heaven. Now, who is that noisy boy? Mr. Oscar. Who brought him here? Okay, next one. Do Adventists believe in an eternal burning hell? False, fake news, good. This is not what Adventists believe. You can't find this in the Bible, right? It is nowhere to be found. And last one. Around the world, 158 people every hour become Adventists. Real news or fake news? 158 people every hour. This is real. How cool is that? As far as I can tell, we are the fastest growing church in the world. 158 people every hour. We may not see this here in this church or in Brisbane, but around the world, we are a super fast growing church. No one is growing like the Adventists. There's something unique about our message, something powerful that God is doing. Fake news is everywhere. It's on your TV, it's on your phone, it's on your laptop. Fake news is everywhere, but this past week, as I was writing this sermon, I got fake news in the mail. How old school is that, right? I got fake news in the mail. There's this little flyer. It seems like they just put it in everyone's mailboxes around Mount Gravatt. And I just thought, no, a piece of junk, you know, throw it in the bin. But I had a quick look, and it mentions Seventh-day Adventists. So what is this about? This is what it says. All religions, except one, focus on what a man has to do to get right with God. These include religions like Muslims, Buddhists, Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, and many other forms of counterfeit Christianity. They are taught that they must be pleasing to God or they won't get into heaven. All these religions are full of very zealous people who are intent on trying to live good and moral lives, but their efforts are futile. They are told getting into heaven depends on them doing good works. Their eternal destination depends on them and how good, perfect, and obedient to the rules they can be. This is what it says about us. This little fly. This is what it says, but is it true? Do Adventists believe that their salvation depends on them doing good works? Is this what we believe? We know. We've been going through this series. The Holy Spirit produces goodness in our lives. But does our salvation depend on us being good? What would you say? A lot of Adventists would say yes. The recent Global Church Members Survey indicates that up to two-thirds of Seventh-day Adventist members may believe to one degree or another that God's blessing is reserved for the remnant and only bestowed on the obedient. A lot of Adventists think that their salvation depends on their obedience, on their works, on their good deeds. But is this what Adventists actually believe? This is the question we're going to answer this morning. We'll start with a prayer. I invite you to bow your heads. Dear God, thank you that we can be here and thank you that we can learn more about you today. Please be with us as we explore this question of good works. What does it mean? How does it integrate with salvation? We ask that you send your Holy Spirit to be with us to make this really, really simple. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so is the flyer true? Do Adventists believe that we are saved by good works? This is fake news. This is what every religion outside of Christianity believes, that you need to do good things to appease the deity, to convince them to let you into the afterlife. If you're good enough, they'll let you in. If you believe this ideology, you're not a Christian, right? What they say about us, you know, they don't even understand Christianity, so I don't know why they bother writing it. That's what they say. So this is fake. What about Adventists believe that we're saved by faith and works? Real news or fake news? This is fake news. This is what Roman Catholics believe, that yes, you need Jesus. Jesus is important. You need Jesus, but you also need to do a whole bunch of good stuff. And you probably won't because you're a sinner, but luckily you have Mary. How good's that? And you have all the saints. How good's that? And they did so many wonderful things, and they can share some of their good works with you. And so this is what Roman Catholics believe. Now this one, Adventists believe that we are saved by faith. This is real news. This is what Protestants believe. This is what Adventists have always believed, because this is what the Bible says. Jesus says, everyone who believes in me will have eternal life. He doesn't say everyone who works for me. He says everyone who believes in me. Jesus says, anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. The Apostle Paul makes it real simple. He says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, he famously put it like this: we are saved sola fide, sola gratia, solo Christo. We are saved by faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone. He's saying exactly what the Bible says. Our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. I just love that word, flawless. We are saved by faith. The Bible says God saved us not because of any virtuous deeds that we had done, but because of his mercy. Our works don't contribute to our salvation, but because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we had done, so none of us can boast about it. Our works don't contribute to salvation. We are saved by grace. This is what Adventists believe, and so you can read it in our fundamental beliefs. It says salvation is all of grace and not of works. It's right there, and it's pretty simple. This is what Adventists believe. So this little flyer is not true, what it says about Adventists. I actually wrote to them. I found the email address. I couldn't find a phone number, but I wrote to them, and I said, you've got to take our name out of the flyer. It's not true what you're saying about us. I actually sent them a link to these fundamentals, and I said, you can read it. It's right there. This is what we believe. Take our name out of your flyer. I haven't got a reply. I don't know if I will, but I thought it was worth a shot. We'll see, because it's not true. This is what Adventists believe. Salvation is all of grace and not of work. But what about the good things that we do? Are good deeds good? We like to hope so, right? We like to think that we're good people, we do good things, you know, we're decent people. But the Bible tells us we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. It's not a great description of us, is it? The Bible's pretty straightforward, pretty blunt, you know. We are infected, we are impure, we are filthy rags. This is us, right? This is who it's talking about. Every single human being, all of us. And when you read it in Hebrew, it gets worse. Because the word for rags is treason. What happens if you commit treason? Greatest crime anyone can commit. If you commit treason, the government will grab a firing squad. No, you're dead. That's what happens if you commit treason. And this is what the Bible is saying about us, about our righteous deeds, our good works, whatever we want to call them. They're an act of filthy treason against our pure and perfect and holy God. This is all human beings can really do. We can't impress God. We can't impress him with what we do. Our achievements, our performance, our actions, they're all infected with sin. And that's why. There is no way they can contribute anything to our salvation that Jesus has already achieved on the cross. He's there, arms wide open. He says, it's finished. I've done it. It's complete. Salvation is all of grace, and not of our filthy works. Now, the big question, which I know everyone's thinking, if we're saved by grace and our works have nothing to do with it, then why should we do good deeds? Why should we do good things? What is the point? If they don't add anything into our salvation, what is the point in doing good deeds? Back in February, as many of you know, I was at the Adventist Uni in the Philippines doing the Ellen White degree, and we had a lecture from Dr. Yuri Moscala, who is head of theology at Andrews Uni. He came over, and he was talking about this exact topic. And so I'd like to share with you what he said. He said, good deeds, according to the Bible, good deeds have five functions. And here is number one. Good deeds point people to God. Jesus says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus makes it really simple. And then we go and complicate it and mess it up. Jesus makes it really simple. This is what good deeds are for. They don't contribute to our salvation. They point others to God. The word for glorify really helps to show us this. It means to value God for who he really is, to personally acknowledge his true character. And this is what we want people to see, that God is love, that God is loving. This is the, you know, great controversy. This is what it's all about. Is God love or not? We want to show people that he is. He has loved us. We want to share that with others. And this is why we do good things, to point others to God. Now, for the kids, if the kids are listening, I know some kids over on this side. What are some good things that we can do for others? You can say something, you can shout it out to me. What are some good things? You can whisper it to your mum and dad. What are some good things that we can do for people? We could maybe make our beds in the morning. We could take out the rubbish. Maybe we could help wash the car or help with the gardening. Put our clothes and toys away. There's lots of good things we can do to help someone, right? Really, really simple things that we can do to help others. And at church, of course, there are lots and lots of things that we can do to help. We can help with the music program. We can help with the welcoming. We can help with all the AV gear. We can help sanitize all the seats after the service, right? You can help run Sabbath school. There's so many different things. Helping hands, adventurers, pathfinders. There are so many things we can do to help. And none of them are really that hard, right? They don't require 10 theology degrees to do it. They're just simple things that we can all do to help. And this is what the Bible's saying. This is what it's encouraging us to do. It won't contribute to our salvation, but our attitude and our willingness to serve, that is what will point people to Jesus. This is what good deeds are for. Number two, our good deeds let us know that we have faith. Adventists often think that our good works prove to God that we had faith. You know, that somehow he wasn't sure. God wasn't sure, and so he got out his set of scales, and he started looking down at little Jared on earth, and, ooh, I wonder what Jared's doing today, and he starts counting things up, and, oh, you know, Jared did something in his culture that, you know, that culture said was good, but another culture said it was bad, so, what do I do, you know? I actually said everything Jared did is a filthy rag, so what do I do now? Where do I put it on this scale, right? We often think that somehow we can prove to God that we have faith by the things that we do, but it doesn't work like that. God already knows if we have faith, if we believe. The Bible says the Lord knows those who are his. He's not in any doubt. He's not confused. Oh, are they Christians? Are they not? The Lord knows those who are his. And so our works aren't for him to convince him. Our works are for us to let us know that we have faith. And so for all the kids, if you're listening and if you're watching on the screen, I have another question for you. If you say, I'm an astronaut, does that make you an astronaut? I wish it did, right? It'd be pretty cool if it was that simple, but simply saying something doesn't mean that it's real. If you say, I'm a Christian, does that make you a Christian? No, simple words, no, it's so much more than that. If you say, I have faith, does that mean you have faith? Not necessarily, right? They're just words. Just because you say something, it's not magical, it's not a magic trick, and the Bible deals with this. 2,000 years ago, the Apostle James is dealing with this exact thing. People are going around and they're saying, I have faith, I have faith, I have faith, so I am saved. I've said the magic words. Ding, you know, let me into heaven. I've said the magic words. And in James chapter 2, he challenges these people and he says to them, you know, you say that you have faith, but the way you're living is not pointing people to God. Jesus said, be a light on a hill, shining before others, that you will point them to God. But he goes, you know, you haven't lit your candle. How are you going to point people to God? You haven't even pulled the matches out of your pocket. How are you going to point people to God? And the answer is, you're not. And that's what James is telling them. Simply saying something, saying that you have faith, it doesn't mean that it's real. And this is what James is addressing in chapter 2. And it's often a tricky chapter for Adventists, faith and works. How do we understand it? If you grab the Seventh-day Adventist Bible commentary, it tells you this. James does not deny that people are declared righteous by faith. However, he does deny that a mere profession of faith can justify someone. Simply saying, I have faith, it doesn't mean anything. Saying, I'm an astronaut, it doesn't mean anything, right? Saying, I have a relationship with God, it doesn't necessarily mean that you do. Faith can be a hard thing to quantify. I can't go, you know, here is my faith. You can check it out, you can pass it around, you can all have a look, and here's my faith. That's what it looks like. You can't do that with faith. It's like gravity. You can't see it, but you can see what it does. This is what James is teaching us. He says, you can't see faith, but you can see what it does. And when you see that what you believe and what you do and what you talk about is pointing people to Jesus, then you can know that you have faith. The people you're working with, they may never accept Jesus, but your life, your faith will keep pointing them to Jesus. Now, often we go, but this is my faith. It's tiny. It's like this tiny little mustard seed. That's all I got. Sometimes we straighten up a bit and we go, this is my faith. It's like a candle. Look at that. Sometimes we go, this is my faith. Look at it right here, shining bright, floodlights at a stadium. That's my faith. You know, Jesus says it doesn't matter how bright it is. He says, let your light shine before others. He just says, turn it on. Whatever you've got, turn it on, and the Holy Spirit will make it brighter than you could ever imagine. This is what the Holy Spirit does. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine for the world to see, and others will see it, and they'll be pointed to God. Number three, our good deeds make us nice people to live with. The Apostle Paul tells us, share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. He's saying care for people. Care for others. He tells us again, he says, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. It's not a new teaching, because he got it straight from Jesus. He said, do to others what you would have them do to you. He's saying, you know, be kind, be good, be fair, be encouraging, be forgiving. He's just saying, be a decent human being, right? Is it hard? Should it be hard? He's calling us to be decent people, and it won't contribute anything to our salvation, but it'll make you a nice person to be with, right? These are the friends you want to have. It'll make you a nice person to be with. And when you shine your light before others, they'll see your good deeds and they'll be pointed to Jesus. Number four, our good deeds help us to grow closer to God. The Apostle Paul says, as you live your life with God, your life will produce every kind of good fruit and you will continue to grow as you learn to know God better and better. As we're producing good fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as we're doing these good deeds, we'll grow closer to God. And I think if I came around with the mic and asked every single person here, we could all share a testimony of how this is true, isn't it? When we serve God, when we do something for Him, we grow closer to Him. And in that process, others do too. In my church in Newcastle growing up, I got to do music every weekend, and we'd practice on Thursday night and on Friday night and on Sabbath morning. We'd practice and practice and practice, and then the Sabbath school and church would play about 10 songs, and I just loved it. And I absolutely loved it. But there were times, you know, when you can't be bothered because you're tired and it's late and you got uni assignments and you got work and you got, you know, family dinner or whatever on Friday night, and you just can't be bothered. Who wants to get up early to go to music practice on Sabbath morning? You can't be bothered, but parents would kick me out of bed or just kick myself into gear, and you go and you play the songs, and God just speaks to you every time. If you're willing to listen, He will speak to you every time. And it was always a blessing. Every single time. And so I encourage you all with this. It's hard during COVID. It is really hard to do church. It's not like it used to be. There are a million reasons to say no to things. But take those opportunities. And you'll be drawn closer to God. You'll get to know Him better and better. Paul tells us, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I try to please everyone in everything I do, he says. I don't just do what's best for me. I do what is best for others so that many may be saved. Our works don't contribute anything to our salvation, but they point others to God. They draw us closer to God. And when our light shines before others, they'll see our good works and they'll be pointed to Jesus. And hopefully, like Paul says, many may be saved. Number five, and our last one, our good deeds bring us happiness. Have you ever done anything nice for anyone? It makes you happy, right? It always does. When I take my little boy Oscar to the pool, you can see his smile there. He loves it. It makes him happy. That makes me happy. On Father's Day, he bought me a bulldozer. How cool is that? I let him play with it sometimes. He bought me a bulldozer. It makes me happy. It makes him happy. And it's just something really simple, isn't it? Simple little things that we can do to make others happy. These good deeds, these good works, they make us happy. The Bible tells us, be kind and compassionate to one another. This is actually a very complicated verse. I think this is a very prophetic verse for our time in Earth's history. Be kind and compassionate to one another. It won't contribute to your salvation, but it'll make you happy. It'll make you a nice person. And others, they'll want to be around you. And as your light shines before them, they'll see your good deeds and they'll begin to consider, you know what? Maybe this Jesus that they're always talking about, maybe he's the one that I've been missing my whole life. Maybe it's Jesus. And so there we go. That's what good deeds are for. They don't save us like every religion outside of Christianity teaches. They don't contribute to our faith like the Roman Catholics teach. They don't prove that we have faith like Adventists often think. Our good works point people to God. They point people to Jesus. It's what Jesus told us. And this is why we do good things, because we want people to know Jesus. We want people to be saved. We want them to experience his love in their lives. This is why the Holy Spirit promises to help us. Goodness. He wants goodness in our lives so that we can point people to God and that they can be saved. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is what we believe as Adventists. And you can read it in our fundamentals. It says salvation is all of grace and not of works. And its fruit is obedience to the commandments. We obey so we can point others to Jesus. This obedience develops Christian character and results in a sense of well-being. It makes us happy. This obedience is evidence of our love for the Lord and our concern for our fellow human beings. Our works are for others. The obedience of faith demonstrates the power of Christ to transform lives and therefore strengthens Christian witness. It points others to Jesus. This is what we've seen this morning, and this is what we believe. And so if this is new for you today, if you're here for the first time, I know we have visitors, or if you're watching online and this is new for you, then I'm so happy that you've joined us, because it's exciting when you learn what the Bible says, when you understand salvation, faith, works. Well, how does it work? When you understand salvation, it is the good news that is the best news, right? You find this freedom that you can't really explain, but you know it is real. You find peace in your life, knowing that I don't have to try and impress God. I don't have to get the scales in my favor. That's not how it works. Jesus has done it all. He says it's finished, and you can accept it. You can accept that gift, and you have peace that will last your entire life. Whatever the devil throws at you, you can have that peace. And so if you understand this, maybe you've understood this for a long time, maybe and you might be understanding it today for the first time. If you understand this, then I really, really encourage you, tell others, tell your friends, tell your family, tell Adventists. We saw at the beginning, 2/3 of Adventists don't get this. And so please tell others what good works are for. Jesus says, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for everything that he has done for us. Thank you that it is finished. He has achieved salvation. It's now presented to us as a gift. We just have to untie the ribbon, and he has achieved salvation for us. Please give us the courage to accept that. It is the hardest thing ever to say, I don't want what Satan has to offer. I don't want what this world has to offer. I don't want selfishness. I want love. I want Jesus. I want to live my life his way so that I can point others to Jesus. And so please give us that courage. Please give us your power. Send your Holy Spirit so that we can let our light shine before others, that they'll see our good deeds, they'll be pointed to you, and they'll say, yes, I want Jesus in my life too. This is our prayer in your name. Amen.